and welcome to another episode of the Game Informer Show. I'm your host, Jeff Quark. What? This podcast got dumb and bad all of a sudden. What the hell happened?
I'm so sorry.
It's only temporary. Ben Hansen's out on assignment. So, I'm here. Sorry. Apologies. And Kim's here.
Hey, I'm here.
And Leo Vader in the booth.
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah. Let's keep this energy.
We're all present.
Like, we're all present, physically, but not mentally. So anyway, Ben's not here, but I'm going to do my best. And we'll see if my best is adequate.
Just
let us know
best.
In the comments. I'm sure that people have nothing but nice things to say. So today's episode, Kim, you're here because we're going to talk about Monster Hunter Iceborne.
Yes, we are.
But that comes a little bit later. Then Joe Juba is going to come in. We're going to talk about a bunch of games, including Knights and Bikes and River City Girls. And I'm going to talk about the Blair Witch game a little bit. And then Andrew Reiner is coming in.
We're sad to report.
In the flesh. He's coming. We're very pumped and nervous about it because he's kind of an intimidating person.
Are you keeping what he's doing a mystery?
Well, if you would let me finish, Kim, without your constant interruptions.
Jeff, you need to get this podcast under control,
man. Yeah, you need to start moving here.
And there's just too many moving parts. Too many people, too many voices. He's going to talk about Gears 5. He's going to talk about Wreckfest. And then we're going to go into community emails. Got some great community emails. And then back half of the show, we're going to be doing Back of the Disc trivia with Joe Juba and Leo Vader.
I can't wait.
So, even though Hansen's not here, it's still going to be quite possibly the best episode we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to stay tuned, right?
Yes.
Leo?
Heck yeah.
Do you have the applause on the soundboard ready?
Yeah, hold on.
Let's pump it up. Pump it up.
Yeah.
We need entrance music.
Yes.
Like we're walking into a basketball match or wrestling.
Absolutely. Speaking of basketball matches and wrestling, Monster Hunter World Iceborne is really good, right?
It's like a wrestling match, let me tell you.
Exactly. Titans squaring off in a ring.
Yeah.
of nature.
It was a very interesting game to review just because when they say expansion, you never know how big an expansion is actually going to be.
Well, they call this one a massive expansion.
They did, but a lot of people always use that word with expansion, like, oh, we're giving it all this content. No, this really has a lot of content.
Yeah.
There's like over 20 monster fights that you have to do and
get to do.
That's true.
Fun
and
good.
It's one of those where just when I was like, oh, I must be like approaching the end, I was like, nope. There's more.
Nope.
And so, if any of you wanted to go back to Monster Hunter World, which it was a great game, why wouldn't you? This has it all.
It has it all.
It's, you know, more monsters, a new area. It's a new frosty area, obviously, if you've seen anything. You know, it's called Iceborne.
Yeah.
And a lot of new gear, which is really cool, that you want bragging rights for, because what I will say about this expansion is it feels like for everybody with World who thought it was too easy, they're like, we got you now.
Yeah.
So these are challenging fights. They're ones that like really tested me, my will to go through. But like, I have never screamed so loud on victories
than
I did with this expansion. The adrenaline rush that you get when you finally take one of these guys down that you've been kind of struggling with. There's three monsters that just drove me crazy. And when I finally figured out, like, all right, we got it. We can do this as a team. And it just felt so good to take them down.
So you had a big cheer of victory. Shut up, Leo. And then what was the sounds you were making when you were losing? Is it just a long sigh?
I don't think we can talk about those on the podcast because Leo will just have to bleep them out.
Gotcha.
That's what's frustrating about it is you can spend like close to 50 minutes in a fight because a lot of these will take close to that time.
Right.
You're going to really get down to the wire and come away with nothing but lost items in your soul. But I feel like there's a lot of highs and lows with it, but then those, you know, those great victories like offset those really tragic defeats.
I felt we'll get back to you in a second, Leo. Don't worry. Seriously, dude, you didn't pull it together, man.
Yeah.
It's constant interruptions. Kim.
Jesus.
Anyway.
You go.
No, you go. You hang up first. So anyway, I felt bad for you when you were reviewing this. Not because you're playing the game, but because this is going to sound like some real woe is me kind of stuff, but playing that on pre-release servers when you don't have people available with you in the same numbers as you do when the game is launched, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like when the game comes out, you can just fire your SOS flare and people will hopefully come and help you. And here you're completely on your own.
Yeah, you fire that flare and it goes off to no one. I had to coordinate a lot. I play more of a support weapon. Let me just like set out expectations here. I'm a light bow gun user. Okay. I'll always be. I love the clutch call for this because you could grapple onto enemies and just throw a bomb on them and jump off.
Yep.
And that was such a good tactic for getting more damage on enemies. But for me, it was like, it wasn't realistic for me to be able to solo that much. Mm-hmm. And the expansion is like harder than, because World, I was able to solo my way through without much trouble. This one, God, I could do it for a few monsters. And then I was like, as I got towards like further in, I was like, this is not even doable because some of these, you need another player there to be distracting the other monsters. Exactly. So, and there's some with like deadly attacks where like they can one shot you or you get like a status element put on you. And it's like, oh man, like it takes half your health away. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't heal it fast enough, you're, you know, and you're trying to like, I need to heal, but I also need to do the, give an antidote on right now, so it's tricky.
Sounds like you needed a hunting horn user.
Yes. I think I need, well, I need a big damage dealer, which I teamed up with people later, other press people, and also Capcom were gracious enough to play some of the monsters with me, but it's so much more fun with people.
Yeah.
That's what Monster Hunter is all about. It's that community, and I'm really excited for when this expansion comes out because there are so many cool fights that you have. There's much more focus on, like, the status elements this time around, the gear you wear. It's like I didn't have to change my gear as much or think about it in Monster Hunter World. A little bit for some of the enemies, but like this one, I like really had to like focus and change things up and make sure that I was prepared for the enemy I was about to fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just a lot to do here. And a lot to think about. Also, with the environments are obviously more destructible. There's also more places to hide behind cover, and you're gonna really need that. Although they will find your cover and knock it down. These monsters are really ruthless.
Were you hiding behind a skinny tree?
Not a skinny tree.
Okay.
I'd make sure there's more.
Very smart.
Did you try that? Was that one of your tactics?
I wish I was that smart. In the heat of the moment, I just would run around. I panicked.
Yeah, that happens.
Leo, you had a super smart question.
This sounds like a lot of new content. I'm curious if there were quality of life changes from Monster Hunter.
So, yeah, this is the big question people have. Stuff I'm disappointed in that they didn't is you still have to watch all those freaking cutscenes. You can't skip them.
It's like watching
a movie with your friends, except your friends in another room.
It breaks up the momentum. You're in co-op with a friend. You're like, all right, we're going on to the next. Okay, I'll join you in like 2 minutes. I have to watch this scene before I can, you know, get into your game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, people have been asking for that for a while. And obviously, that's not something that was addressed here. I hope in the future. Also, the damn turf wars. They become something that prolongs every battle you have, and they become big components actually of a lot of these battles, which I find more frustrating. It's cool to see them at first, and oh, that's really cool. And when they take a big amount of damage off a monster you're fighting, you're like, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But when you just want to get the job done and you're interrupted and you're just like, well, I guess I'm going to stand here for a little bit and just watch this. It's fine when it happens like once during a battle, but when it happens repeatedly and it becomes like such an obstacle instead of being something that's like cool that happens, I think that's a little problematic. So that's still there. But what they did do is difficulty scaling. So say you're playing with like three people, it'll scale that difficulty. But if one of your friends loses their internet connection, which we all know happens at the worst times, it'll dial it back down to two if they leave.
Okay.
So it adjusts for that. Like that's definitely much better. So
it also gets harder if someone joins, I would assume.
Yes, it does. So, and like I said, I thought the clutch claw was great because you can also with that, a cool tactic to do is you can change the monster's like positioning.
If you hit
them in the head, whatever, then they go right into a wall, knock over, big damage, good way to deal a lot of damage. So I thought the clutch claw was the best thing about this expansion. I used it actually the most. It factored into every battle strategy that I did because like being able to just, you know, I love mounting monsters, but sometimes it's such a pain to find that perfect spot to jump off and be like, oh, I hope at least with the clutch Clutch Claw, you can instantly get on top of them and deal at least some, you know, big damage. Yeah. So that's what I liked about it the most.
Yeah, Somebody starting fresh from the beginning of Monster Hunter World with Iceborne will get that before they get to the Iceborne content, or is it still going to be locked until you get there?
Oh, actually,
I think you do get it from the very beginning.
Okay, that's
interesting.
Good.
So you get some of those things, but you can't access the Iceborne content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you do have the Clutch Claw.
Which you wouldn't want to, because like I said, I think with Iceborne, what was smart that they did, they know you're an experienced player if mm-hmm. you've gotten that far. So it's like, the training wheels are off. Yeah. Now it's just like, you are in the bitter cold, and here's a bitter fight to go with it. But like I said, those victories are just, the highs are so great.
Just carving them up, too, and making a hat.
Yeah, being like, you know what? You gave me, like Val Hazek gave me a hard time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? Now I'm just going to wear you.
Yeah.
And show pride that I took you down.
In that way, we honor you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not even going to wear you. My palico is going to wear
you. Yeah, right.
And that way, I dishonor you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm pretty good?
Yeah, very good. Like I said, the only thing is, so I wish they had, like, the frosty area is cool. It's mm-hmm. cool when you visit it a few times. It's a really big area, the biggest one that they've done. But you go to it a lot for this expansion. And then the other areas that you go to are obviously like Coral High Grounds mm-hmm. or from the base game, Ancient Forest, mm-hmm. like those. And so for me, I would have liked one more area maybe to just have something else, because like the winter environment's really cool at first, because you're like, oh, there's also like obstacles you got to watch out for, like deep snow will slow you down mm-hmm. and, you know, just extra stuff with like icicles sometimes that monsters will throw at you or that can fall. Mm-hmm. But battles become like, you just get so used to that area. And then the areas that they use from the base game also, I'm so used to those that like your strategies start to get a little predictable through them, because you always know kind of what you're walking into. But other than that, like I said, there are some fights that I can't wait till when people get to them, and I'm mm-hmm. just watching my Twitter feed as they're like,
So real quick, what percentage would you say takes place in the new area?
I would say it's like almost a 50-50 split between that and old.
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty balanced out in that way. But it's more, you're visiting the new area more in the beginning, and then mm-hmm. as you go on, you start doing more of the older areas that you've been to.
Yeah. It's weird that Handler doesn't have a name though, right?
Well, I mean, I don't like her anyway.
Really?
She don't need one.
Wow.
That voice acting. Whew.
You just don't like it, huh?
She's just a little sassy girl.
Handler is the female version of Chandler.
Oh.
Maybe that's why I have issues with her. No.
Very cool. Well, is the review on the site?
Yes, it is on the site.
What did you give it?
825.
825. There you have it. Kim, thank you so much for talking about Monster Hunter Iceborne.
Thank you.
Can you clap out, please?
Let's do it.
Hey, it's Joe Juba.
It's me. It's Ta-da.
You. Here you are.
Hi.
Now what?
I don't know. You're the host. You tell
me. Hansen usually does this. I don't know how any of this works.
Well, the first thing you do is say, "Dear Game Informer, you are so great. I love your show. Ben Hansen's the best host."
All right, can you take that for the top? Hey, you played some games.
I did, yeah.
And you've been reviewing them.
As I do sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, why is that?
It seems like half of it is really fun. The playing the game part, right? But then you got to write all the stuff.
Now, I like writing the stuff.
You could just copy someone else's writing of the stuff.
That's very smart, and I hope they never catch on.
History has shown that no one ever catches on to that.
No one ever catches on. It's the perfect grift. Hey, anyway, you've been blah. I've got it written down. Yuck. That's what these papers are for.
Check that one off.
Also, love the show. Great job, guys.
Oh, perfect. Well, actually, yum.
Putting together emails this week, not a single person said they liked the show or Ben. He makes all that up.
Oh, very interesting.
Maybe
those people fell off. They're just like, nope. Oh, well, I don't know.
Okay, so I played some games.
You played Knights and Bikes.
Yeah, that's one of them. That review's up on the site right now.
You don't want to talk about it now because the review's on the site right now?
That's why I'm here, is just to read letter for letter the URL that you can go to
ASPX ? What? So Knights and Bikes, though.
So you played a little of this with me.
I did.
At the beginning, we did some co-op. It's just a cute game.
It's very cute.
That sounds like it's a... It sounds like it's minimizing the things that it does well. Like, oh, isn't that cute? It's a little, like, quaint game. But I think that it's really smart in the way that it... So the general story is that you...
Thank you.
You control these two characters, Nessa and Demelza, who are two girls who are on this tourist island called Penferzi.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet up at the beginning of the game. And part of what I like about the game so much is through a lot of these like small moments, it builds up what feels like a pretty like authentic relationship and sort of vision, like, I don't know, like childlike lens of the world, I guess, that sort of melds fantasy and reality, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, that garbage dump is a castle. We're going to go into the castle.
Right.
You know, and... So it's that combination of things, I think, really goes a long way to making it just like an endearing game.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the actual act of playing the game, right? Like the combat and the puzzles aren't, it's not that they're bad, but they're also just like not ambitious, right? Like nothing there is blowing your socks off.
It's right.
Like a bunch of enemies are swarming you and you press a button and you throw your frisbee or you stomp them and they're done. And it doesn't ask a whole lot of you in terms of like level of challenge.
Okay.
And that's all okay. Mm-hmm. It lets you appreciate the other elements of the game. It's beautiful, by the way, which I don't have.
You'll have to take our word for it.
You'll have to take my word for it. But
there will be gameplay on screen right now.
There we go.
Love it. Yeah. See, look at it. It looks great, doesn't
Audio
it?
Audio listeners... Screw you.
Yeah. But it's from like some of the same minds behind like from Media Molecule, so people behind games like Little Big Planet and Tearaway. So it's got that
Tearaway kind of, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely got that sort of charm overall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a game where like I almost feel bad saying anything bad about it because it makes me feel like I'm somehow like insulting the life of these fictional children who are in it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
you're just being a big bully.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. Yeah. That's how they establish the characters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you did want to bully these two fictional children by lording over them with a number, assigning their value, what would you give these two children?
What would you give your two children?
What would I give? Which one are we talking about?
Both of
like
them.
Cumulatively? Like,
No. Let's say you had to grade each of your children individually.
Individually?
Out of 10, what do they get?
Out of 10? 4-2-5 and 6-7-5. But I'll never say which one.
They're both fail. Like that's like a very bad grade.
You wouldn't recommend either of them.
Yeah.
I see them all the time though. Maybe I'm just immune. I don't know.
I gave Knights and Bikes an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So
you're playing something else too. You're not reviewing it right yet.
I'm
in the process.
I'm in the process. And that's of reviewing River City Girls.
Now, which... I played this with you also.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time with you,
JoJo. We're co-op buddies. Oh, real quick. I want to say about Knights and Bikes. If you're looking for a game like to play with your kids.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, but I imagine that this would be a very good one for that. Because it is like the action is so like simple and accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is sweet.
Yeah.
I think that'd be an easy one to share with someone.
Yeah. So. Or for your significant other who hates video games. Might pull them over. Because that's what you spend all your time doing is trying to convert people to play video games.
That's the goal of every gamer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would not recommend playing River City Girls with your children.
Now, I played some of this with you, and it played a boss fight who's this guy?
Oh, you'd recognize him if you've played like Double Dragon before.
See, I'd never heard of this game before, so the like a Bobo popped up.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Is this gonna get cease and desisted into space or something? What's going on here?"
So apparently, a Bobo has actually had some like guest spots in the River City series before, even. But so this is an official. There are definitely like characters from Double Dragon that are in this game also.
And to be clear, like. The name River City Girls, this is a River City Ransom game.
Yeah.
It is not like some indie developers really like those games, so they're really skirting what is and is.
No, this is Arc System Works publishing, Way Forward developing. Yeah. It's an official installment in that series, which is super broad. It encompasses what, like Dodgeball and anyway. So, but yeah, if you're a fan of that series, there are lots of, you know, callbacks and characters both from like River City Games and Double Dragon and stuff like that. But really, it's a side-scrolling brawler. Mm-hmm. It has a map. It has an open world.
There are stores you can buy things.
There are stores you buy things. I'm struggling a little bit though, because even though it's not strictly a, like, you are on level one, go from left side of the screen to right side of the screen, it still does proceed in sort of a linear way. Like, there are parts of the world that, I mean, you basically need to tackle the parts of the world in order. At the end of each one, there's a boss, and then you go on to the next one and, you know, things like that. So it has a slightly more open structure. You can do some, like, you might go back to areas that you've visited before and stuff that, but it still progresses in a pretty, in a straightforward way, but it's, you know, it's fun. You get a lot of moves, you punch thugs on the street.
Yeah, it's super, like, kind of like a Scott Pilgrim Saves the World visual style in a lot of ways.
Yeah, oh yeah, it looks great. The animations and the art.
That's versus the world. It's quite different. I would let that slip, but normally that's like, it's the opposite, so.
All right, how do you mute?
That's
life. Oh, there you go. Problem solved.
Sorry, hey, Leo.
Does a character at any point say barf?
Yes.
Okay, that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah. There you go.
So yeah, hopefully, you know, keep looking for a review on that on the site at some point in the future. At some point.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
You did not play Blair Witch video game. I played it. So ask me lots of smart and good questions about it, and I'll do my best to answer them.
All right. Well, give me the host paper.
Oh, you don't want to see it. It's garbage. I've just drawn one part of a circle and a small circle, and then it's emails. So I don't know what Hansen does. I also wrote yuck.
Okay, so Blair Witch. This is from Bloober Team.
Correct.
Who, from my experience, is very hit and miss.
Okay.
They are the studio behind the Layers of Fear games, which I have not enjoyed, though many people have.
Right.
And they're also the team behind Observer, which I remember, I actually never got on to play that, but JV really liked Observer.
Observer is great.
So, where on a scale from Layers of Fear to Observer does Blair Witch land?
See, I did not play Layers of Fear, but I will go by your feelings about that.
Let's
game.
Assume it's very bad.
I will say it's in the middle. Yeah. Okay. It has some really great moments and then has some other stuff that's fairly tedious. It's interesting because my opinion of it is that the beginning is pretty good. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you're just like, I just pick up the pace a little bit. I'm tired of backtracking and finding cranks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the ending is really solid. I think that it does some really interesting things. And I saw on Facebook, former editor Phil Kohler, the exact opposite opinion. He said that he thought he liked the beginning a lot and that it wobbled near the ending.
So what... I guess I don't want you to spoil everything.
Oh, I'll
for
spoil
me.
Everything for you.
But I mean, like, what about the ending did you find so interesting?
Well, here's the deal. What I like about it is the Blair Witch franchise. I did rewatch all those movies too, just to get the Blair Witch mood.
Okay. How many are there?
There are three.
Okay.
Yeah, there's Book of Secrets and then Blair Witch 2016 and of course Blair Witch Project. Almost stumbled on that one. That would
have been nice save.
It's a tough one. A classic tongue twister.
Blair Witch Project. Say that 40 times. So anyway, what
Send
I like about the
saying
ending,
the Blair Witch Project 40 times to podcast@gameinformer.com.
Don't do that because we want things that make the podcast better. That's the one thing I know about this show is that
make the show better.
Want it better. Okay. I think the ending is really solid because it is all building up to this. You won't believe it. And it also has you kind of playing through things that are important to the Blair Witch franchise.
Oh, okay.
And it adds some context. I don't know how canonical any of it is, that it's super interesting. And how about this? I will say something and you can choose to edit it out if you think it is too spoilery. So don't know. There's some interesting stuff there.
Okay. Okay.
There's some stuff that isn't interesting at all, and like, it's one of those games too where I thought it clearly has multiple endings, and I was very excited because I was like, oh, I can make a decision here that'll change this. I want to see this other ending. Played through the last hour and a half or so, made what I thought would be a decision that would change things significantly. It did not change that at all. So I think it's tracking stuff throughout the whole thing. It's not the longest game in the world, but it's long enough to where it's like, I don't want to do that all again
right now.
Do you know if you and Phil got different endings?
My ending was the bummer ending. Like, it was clearly the worst of the worst. So if anyone would have liked it more, it would have been him.
Interesting.
You would think.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, because so the big part of Blair Witch is wandering around in the woods.
Yep. You do that too. But it's, you are intentionally getting lost, which I think is probably more interesting to observe than to participate in. Is it
you're intentionally getting lost? Or
you're unintentionally getting lost. You know what I mean? So basically you're kind of like walking on trying to think of a way to say, like it's a sphere covered in fog in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Like if you keep walking one direction, you will come to where you started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some of it's intentionally designed to be confusing, and I just found it to be frustrating.
Okay.
Especially because you're like, okay, I need to go here to do this one task.
So it's not like you can map out the woods and suddenly it's less spooky because you know where everything is.
You could if you came up with some kind of symbol that said teleport here, go here. But at that point, I don't know. Maybe if you mapped it onto a three-dimensional shape. But yeah, it's pretty good. Gave it a 7.
You've got a dog companion in the game.
Oh, Bullet. That's his name.
Yeah, are those mechanics fun?
He doesn't do a whole lot. It isn't like you're commanding him to do a whole lot of stuff. You can like give him a clue that you find and he'll like sniff it out, and then you kind of follow him to the next part of the puzzle. And then in the combat, which you just have a flashlight. So you are a survival horror character, but an actual one. You don't have a gun also.
Yeah.
You aim your flashlight at a monster until it runs away. And the dog will point where the monster is going to be.
In the exclusive early footage we had, there was a thing towards the end where something scary was going on, some scary music was playing, and then the character stopped and pet the dog, and his voice was like, "Who's a good boy?" Is that weird in the game?
I found myself petting the dog a lot, and it is kind of weird.
A little jarring.
He is a good boy.
Okay.
So, but bottom line overall, you gave it a 7 out of 10, and if someone is into Blair Witch and the lore as it is in that franchise, this is something that is worth playing.
Yeah, it's something that I think if you were to gather some buddies together and play for a while, you'd have a good time as well.
All right.
The end.
All right, you're host again now.
I'm host again now. Juba, why don't you clap out, please? Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Hey!
Whoa!
Andrew Reiner.
Hi, do I got to yell to talk to you way over there?
No!
How are we going to hold hands under the desk like we usually do?
Really? Oh. I don't know. Leo said that he did not want people sitting too close together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fraternizing in the workplace, said.
Yeah, exactly.
HR.
HR.
They always break us up.
Gears 5.
Video games.
Video games.
Yes, Gears 5. I reviewed that game. Yep. It's out now for...
It's complicated. If you have a Game Pass...
Yeah, if you have the Deluxe Super Edition.
Right.
Chainsaw Edition, whatever it's called, you get it early.
Right.
But everybody else has to wait till the 10th or something like that.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't pay for it. You don't get it.
Yeah, you only spent $60 on it. You're trash. Have fun waiting, idiot. But what did you think of Gears 5?
I love this series.
Yeah?
Since it started way back when with Cliffy B and Epic Games and... It was one of the prettiest games out there. You know, Destroyed Beauty. It was all brown and gross, but
yeah.
Unreal was pretty powerful then, so I thought it started out pretty strong. You're giving me a look like just get to 5 already, dude.
No, I went. Then Gears 2 came out.
Yeah, well, we could skip ahead, but they've all been consistent. They've added to them in interesting ways. Judgment was the one that was kind of a little bit of a record scratch, but the numbered entries have been solid.
And Gears Funko.
Well, that's the best of all of them.
Yeah.
Because I keep paying into it. but they've been solid, if not fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think Gears 5 is another really, really good entry in this consistent series. Mm-hmm. This is the Coalition. It's second time developing. Obviously, Rod Ferguson comes over from Epic, so he's already had some chops with the series, mm-hmm. some know-how. But they just kind of have ownership of it now. Like, you could tell they're having fun with it. They do some pretty dynamic things, both with the gameplay and storytelling. And they take some chances, which don't always pan out.
But they're taking chances.
That's right. You got to break new ground every once in a while, right?
Otherwise, it's
just going to be like the Tony Hawk series and disappear, and then we're going to be angry.
Exactly. So this takes place directly after the events of Gears of War 4.
Direct continuation, picks up just like The Last Jedi,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Rey standing there with Luke.
Yep.
Same exact moment in this.
Right, except Marcus and Dom.
Yeah,
very bold move.
Dom, man. You have not played the series, apparently.
Those are the only two I could know.
It picks up with you learn at the end of Gears 4 that there's something wrong with Kate, one of the protagonists. I won't go into that. You should play it. You got to play 4 before you go into 5, by the way, because it is that much of a continuation. I think both are out there now, so you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
We're certain of, right? It's out, Gears 5?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. You want to play those two just because they do a recap at the mm-hmm. beginning, but it's a mess.
Oh.
It's just bouncing between story beats, and it really doesn't convey what's really going
on. So it makes you more confused because you're just like, wait,
what? Well, I guess I had the knowledge, but I watched it. I kind of laughed at it. I was like, wow, they're missing some big, big, huge beats here.
Yeah.
You're kind of wondering what's going to happen to Kate as you're playing with her, as she's running with you at other mm-hmm. times. Can you trust her?
Yeah.
And that's a big beat that they kind of drop. Mm-hmm. In Gears 5. It's interesting, but they don't do enough with it. And it kind of fizzles out at the end.
Okay.
Thankfully, there's other things that you wouldn't anticipate that are very good in the story.
Yeah.
New characters are introduced, locations, more backstory of what's going on with the Locust Horde and the Swarm.
Maria comes back?
You'll have to wait and see.
Very interesting.
But it is, it ends up being a really fun ride. And in big part because the gunfights are always just so chaotic mm-hmm. and just intense. Like, whether you're playing single player or co-op on any of those difficulties, they just throw the Horde at you like you wouldn't believe. And they do really, really kind of neat things with the battlefield too. I'll give one away here. There's sometimes you fight on ice. It could be a lake or river, and you could shoot out that ice as an enemy's walking over it. So rather than going for a headshot, mm-hmm. you could just shoot out the ice for a one-hit kill.
It's the exact opposite of a headshot.
Exactly. It's a, what would you call it? Heel shot.
Below the heel.
Yeah. So that's like a way, or you can shoot out the ice to create kind of separation so the enemies mm-hmm. can't get over to you. They kind of got to stall out there or plummet to their death.
Is that dynamic or are those like specific chunks?
You can shoot anywhere on the ice and do it.
Interesting.
Can you make a little moat around a guy and he's just stuck there forever?
I guess. I never tried that. That's a video, Leo.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And then make a
the moat cast.
Yeah, then make a river where he just like floats away down the little island.
So they do neat things like with that. In the last game, they had wind effects where if you're throwing a grenade, it might come back your way. They do that again here.
Okay.
So you're always kind of looking at the battlefield. But the coolest thing they do is your robotic helper, Jack, who's a veteran in the series, much like Marcus is. Mm-hmm. He's been around, had different forms, different uses. He is now an integral part of exploration and combat. And you could tell Jack to do a variety of things. That could be giving you a shield, much like a Bastion in the game,
mm-hmm.
Where he's like right in front of you, protecting you from the enemies that are approaching. Very cool. He can heal you. He could flashbang enemies. Mm-hmm. So you could send them over to like, if they're behind cover, like three of them, flashbang, then they're standing there dazed and you can take them out. You can upgrade these powers with Jack. So as you're exploring the world,
mm-hmm.
you're finding these little canisters that you use to upgrade them. So it's not just finding the dog tags or whatever, or the cogs, right?
Okay.
There's actual reasons to go out and explore every nook and cranny
and
find these secrets. Jack is also used to open doors and stuff like that in environment puzzles. Like, mm-hmm. okay, how do we throw the switch? Like, Jack. Is there a place where Jack can go?
Yep.
The solution is often Jack, yes.
press X to Jack.
It adds another element to the gameplay. The one thing that doesn't work is they tried to turn Gears at certain points mm-hmm. into an open world game. So there are two environments. One is tundra. We talked about the ice. Mm-hmm. Another is red sand, like The Last Jedi. We'll keep bringing up The Last Jedi, by the way. But it looks like Crait from that movie. And basically, you have to explore great distances to get to your next mission objective. And they give you a skiff mm-hmm. that's pulled by a sail. And they just say, okay, drive from point A to point B.
And it's like so desert
you start
bus.
Out, yeah, and you start out and you're like, okay, this is cool. I'm on this.
Yeah.
Your other co-op character is like on the turret, which looks like a turret, but it's actually not because there is no combat. There's no conflicts that unfold in these open world environments. You just drive basically for a few minutes to your next location.
Does it at least play a cool song like Red Dead?
It's like wind.
So that's a no.
The characters talk sometimes.
Oh.
But if you're playing the co-op
yeah.
character, you're doing nothing.
You're sitting in a chair.
Yeah, and you're just like spinning around in circles. Like that's what I did. It was on this little turret thing, spinning in circles. And it used the turret to like mark locations. But there's hardly anything to do. There is some side stuff, mm-hmm. but there's like two or three things that take you a couple minutes, and then it's just back to the beaten path. So they tried to add this element of expanding the world. And yes, it is cool to see more of Sarah and all this stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. just a bigger chunk of it at once. But that's it.
It sounds
gameplay wise, it's very boring.
Yeah.
So some of the best firefights ever. Mm-hmm. Some of the best innovation they've had in the firefights with Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the open world stuff kind of pulls that down a little bit for two big moments in the game.
Yeah.
So I liked 4's campaign more just because of the pacing it hit.
Right.
But this one definitely has the best firefights when it is like really unloading on you. The final act in this game mm-hmm. is fantastic.
So they should have a director's cut that cuts that out.
Those like the
literally
world,
cut.
Or just skip for yeah. $5. Skip this travel.
Oh, don't give me any ideas.
Something they talked about is changing the recoil patterns. So it's more like vertical recoil versus bloom spreading on assault rifles. They talked about that for multiplayer. I assume it's the same way for single player.
I suppose so. Yeah. I didn't go into too much of that kind of stuff, but the multiplayer stuff is fantastic again.
Mm-hmm.
Arms race, super fun. I don't know if you've played that before where your team has to get a set amount of kills with a certain gun and then they give you another one mm-hmm. and both teams have the same guns coming up. So you're just racing to the last gun basically. Super fun. The there's a new mode called Arcade, mm-hmm. which is meant to bring in new recruits because Versus has always been pretty competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the veterans hang out, ranked play. This is an easy way of just getting in there, and it's team deathmatch to 50 kills. Mm-hmm. And basically, every kill or assist you get these skulls, and you can turn those in, trade those in at any point. To get new, better weapons.
Yep.
So it's like this pursuit of power as you're racking up kills, which is done very well. You're not running to find something.
Mm-hmm.
If you do well, they reward you.
Yeah.
I think it works very well. And it's quick. It's fun. And it's a nice addition to Versus.
That was part of the like the beta. The
yeah,
multiplayer
I think,
beta.
Yeah,
that
they
one.
Let people check that out. Yeah,
yeah. We have a new gameplay today on that one. And also a new
Watch
gameplay
it.
Today on Gears 5. We did the campaign.
Yeah, we did the first level, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Horde mode's back.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I talked about shooting out the ice. That's in one of the maps. Very cool. Very much like Horde mode 3.0, moving the base around. You have set character traits now. You find that throughout all of multiplayer. So as you're getting cards, you're not opening packs anymore like yeah. random, but you're getting, as you rank up cards to apply to your different characters. So they kind of push your hand to play with the different characters.
Yeah.
One yeah. of the bad things on day one... For whatever reason, they decided to make the Terminator Dark Fate DLC active on day one, as well as the Halo DLC from Halo Reach.
Oh, no.
So you have Sarah Connor, a Terminator, two characters from Halo Reach. It doesn't even feel like Gears because it's like you start the match and you're like standing next to Sarah Connor and she's doing these quips and you're like, what is this?
It's like we're at the Halloween store.
Yeah, licensed characters in games. It's fun to see them, mm-hmm. but... Let your game breathe on its own a little bit before putting them in there.
It seems very intense.
Dave Bautista is in there also.
He's coming, yeah. Like, what is going on? So, he's his own self? He's not a character?
Well, what? Here's the thing. The trailer that he posted on his Twitter was... He turned around, took off his sunglasses or whatever, and it said Bautista, spelled not like Dave Bautista. spelled without the U. So either they spelled it wrong in the trailer, or is the original character named Batista?
Oh, no.
It's very weird.
It's a, like I said, licensed characters or adding real people now, maybe, question mark? Yeah. Not the best thing. Especially on day one.
Yeah.
Give it a few weeks or a month or three or six.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you give it?
8.5. Solid. Very good.
Very solid. Hey, something else that's solid and very good?
It, also an 8.5.
Wreckfest?
Yes.
Tell me all about Wreckfest.
It's the perfect name for what it is.
Okay.
Picture like county fair demolition derbies and races where it looks like these cars were pulled out of the junkyard, souped up, like what's internally there is pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. But on the outside, it's like, oh crap, we got a race tomorrow. Spray paint it quick, put a number on there. It's all crooked.
Okay.
That's what the cars look like. So these kind of muscle cars, cars of yesteryear back on the track. And as the name implies, it's all about smashing it up. So
Fest.
As you're, making a turn, you might see like three cars there.
Right.
And rather than just kind of pulling up alongside them or next to them, you're like, okay, is it worth sacrificing my front bumper to hit that one and send those three into the ditch and then continue on? Or does that mean I might not have enough protection to finish the race?
Okay.
So you start thinking that way. And the computer is also aggressive. Usually in racing games, cars run pretty clean paths, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe Burnout is the exception. This game, they're always trying to spin you out or just ram you into the wall on straightaways. So it's a very aggressive racer.
Yeah.
It also has a demolition component where you're driving around backwards, right? Smashing into cars, and it's battle royale. It's the last car standing.
Okay.
They have lawnmowers you do this on.
Wow.
Which is very dangerous, by the way.
I can't think of a more dangerous activity.
It's a very fast way to mow your lawn, though, if you think about it. You got 16 lawnmowers going at it at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RVs, just kind of like gimmick vehicles.
Right.
I didn't find those to be that much fun. It's funny to see them at first.
Yeah.
But the muscle cars are where it's at. Like, they're tuned great. They feel great. They're fun. Really fast. Mm-hmm. Everything else is just kind of slow, big, clunky, gimmicky.
Where'd it come from? What studio?
Bugbear. So they did the Flat Out series.
Okay.
So they already had some racing chops. And, you know, they did demolition derbies, stuff like that in the past. This is really, I think, their best game. Like, just, they really nail that. They embrace wreck, you know, and it looks great.
Yeah.
The damage models on the cars. And it's old school in design, so you won't be following like arrows on the track. There's no rewind.
Okay.
The campaign is just like finish an event to unlock another one, you know, or finish this tier to unlock the next one.
So it's not a quest of self-discovery of the driver.
Right. Yeah. It is just like all about just moving you from one event to the next. If you fail, do it again to get the next one, right? Like that is how it's built. There's a little bit of tuning. You can do a little bit of customization, but it's basically bare bones in that capacity.
So I read about it a little bit online, and one guy in particular had a comment that he was saying that there's some serious rubber band AI there that kind of had to put the game away for a while because he was getting very angry.
Or maybe he wasn't very good.
The AI
is very aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how much rubber banding is there. Like, it's like Mario Kart does it too, right? Like, it's like, oh, that guy's way in last, and they give him all the good weapons to knock you out then and when you're in first.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's obviously every racing game ever does it. If it's too much, complain a bunch. Maybe they can tone it down, but I found every race to be pretty competitive and fun and came down to scale. It really did come down to scale.
Very good. Well, Reiner.
Yes.
I think we should do some emails.
All right.
What do you think? This is the part where Ben gives his sales pitch saying that people have written emails to us at podcast@gameinformer.com.
Well, he throws it to transition first.
Does he?
Yeah, generally. Okay, generally
so
speaking.
Let's scrap this then. So what does he
do? No,
keep
now? You're doing great. Keep
just,
going.
Just say transition.
Rolling. Transition.
Here comes up.
Here comes up email. All right, now it's time for community emails. This is the part where Ben Hansen likes to talk about how people write in with questions, comments, news stories, tips, corrections, anything that will make the show better.
Yeah.
And then we will go through them. We'll provide our answers. And then
The big board. The person who... Oh, boy.
I just realized it's not visible on any of the cameras right now, but that's fine.
Just picture
there's
a map.
Take our word for it. Yeah, Hansen also runs this part from a very rigid script. That's why I'm fumbling. He didn't give it to me. Basically, we'll write down the person who wrote the email of the week, the best email, most interesting email. We will commemorate that by putting their location on the big board, which, again, you'll have to take our word for it. It's mm-hmm. quite large. We couldn't get it into one camera angle.
It's huge.
Yeah. We'll have to invest in better lens.
Yeah.
So, without further ado, here we go. Interesting enough, I think I was just scanning them. Nobody is saying nice things about Ben Hansen in these emails. Are you sure you didn't delete these?
I cut out a lot of the just we love or the show stuff.
Does he just add that on his own?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Brent Woodruff in Durham, North Carolina writes, "What is the single funniest moment in a game for you? I always go back to the scene in Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker where Big Boss searches a truck and finds a crate full of gears and quizzically asks, 'Metal Gear?'" Cheers.
Cheers. For me, in the Xbox Live Arcade re-release of Secret of Monkey Island, the first time I played it, that scene where you're behind the wall and it's just describing all these different things are happening that you can't see, there's an elephant back here and stuff. That, like, floored me. That was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Like
that was
the
so clever.
The big fighting scene?
Yeah, where the screen's just shaking over this, like, static shot of the wall that you're behind.
Yeah, that's the first time I'd heard the term Chicago Manual of Style. And I was just a dumb kid, and I was like, what even is that? I assumed it was some kind of fashion guide.
Yeah.
The end.
For me, it was Eternal Darkness. Playing that game, one of the first like things I got where the game was messing up was it muted the screen, and I thought it actually muted my TV. So I was like looking around, and then it came back on. Like as I was turning the volume up, like it's like this game. Like and then from there, it's like all bets are off. Like the screen turns upside down, and I don't know. I thought that stuff was super clever.
Yeah, yeah.
Psycho Mantis as well for Metal Gear when he's messing with you and you don't really understand what's happening.
Okay.
I love it when games screw with players.
Yeah, speaking of Kojima, that scene in Ground Zeroes where you save Kojima and just like that dramatic zoom on the character model of him. Big laugh.
Don't you unlock his glasses or something in that?
I think so.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, guess what? Nick from Atlanta writes in and says,
"Do you have one though?"
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think anything's funny.
Yeah. That's
stupid life. Nick from Atlanta writes in and says, "Hello, GI Show. I've got a game for you inspired by Emma McMurphy. Can you correctly guess which games on the following list are real Barbie games?" Oh, he says, "Ben, I'm writing on mobile, so if it's real, I'll put release info in parentheses after the name. Have fun."
So Cork knows which ones.
I will
real.
Know which ones. This is inspired by former intern Emma. I can guess. I'll do very well. So guess. Barbie Horse Adventures, : Wild Horse Rescue, real or fake?
Real.
2003, yep. PlayStation 2 and Xbox.
Yeah, I played all the way through that one.
Magical Fairy Tales, : Barbie as Rapunzel.
Huh.
Real.
That definitely sounds like a franchise. I'm going to say fake, though.
Reiner, you've got it.
Yeah.
It's real. 1997, Mac and Windows.
I wrote the strategy guide on that one.
Barbie Magical Mystery Tour.
Fake.
Yeah, that's fake.
Fake. Those are Beatles lyrics.
Yeah.
If you're playing at home.
She was the fifth member.
Secret Agent Barbie.
Real.
Real.
Can I get year and platform?
PlayStation. Xbox. DS. iOS.
1961.
2001, Windows and Game Boy Advance.
Okay, well, we got that one.
Yeah. Very close.
Nailed it.
All right. The next five, we'll just assume that I'm saying after Barbie, : each of these, just to save time.
We've already spent more time than we would have.
If you have any questions about this, so again, I'm going to say Barbie, pause.
You just did it again, though.
Dress to impress.
Dress to impress?
Yes.
Real.
Real.
Fake.
Come on, Emma.
Big Murphy?
Well, I mean,
sounded right.
Emma didn't do this. This was Nick from Atlanta.
Oh.
Still, it's her fault.
Inspired by Emma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Barbie Super Sloop.
You just said Barbie again.
Yeah, I know. Barbie Super Sloop.
Fake.
Real.
Fake, but there is a Detective Barbie game.
Hmm.
Barbie Fashion Show, : An Eye for Style.
Real.
think.
Real 2008 DS and Windows.
No one would make up that bad of a name.
No. Mm,
true.
Barbie, colon, figure skater.
Thank God, I want it to be real, so I'm going to say real. If it's real, we're going to replay that sucker.
And you said fake?
I said fake.
Leo takes it. Fake, but Nick offers clarification. There is an Imagine figure skater.
That's what you're thinking of, Reiner.
Yeah.
Come on,
that's
Emma.
What exactly. Barbie Direct.
What? Like a Nintendo Direct with Barbie?
I can't say anything.
So you were supposed to just say Direct.
No. Barbie.
You said you weren't going to say Barbie anymore.
We have now spent so much time on this.
It's a terrible name, so real.
Fake.
Leo takes it again. Fake. But Nick from Atlanta also helpfully says that Barbie Story Maker from 1997 is a video editing program.
Hmm. I use that to edit videos at Game Informer.
All right, this is the final one. And your videos look very nice. Detective Barbie in the Mystery of the Carnival Caper.
Fake.
Real.
Real. 1998 what? Personal computer.
Huh. It sounded like a Scooby-Doo Carnival Caper.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Huh. So there you go.
Good Thanks. On you, Barbie.
Thanks, Nick.
Who won, Cork?
I was not keeping track.
I think you did, Leo. I kind of blew it at the end there.
Oh. Yeah, you had a big kill streak.
That was a huge comeback.
It was really good.
I've got the UAV right now.
Pat from LA, I don't know if this is Louisiana or Los Angeles, writes, in your last podcast, during the interview with your interns, you spent some time making fun of a Barbie Game Boy Advance game.
Uh-oh.
We're doing this again?
This made me want to recommend two things to you. This Adam Ruins Everything podcast episode, Rachel Weil on Famicom and the value of preserving classic girl video games, and Rachel's website. It's fascinating information about how classic girl video games are dismissed by the game industry to the point where they're almost being erased from history. Games like Barbie Fashion Designer, which outsold Doom and Quake the year it came out, but nobody heard of it. These games for girls are held to a much higher social standard than the games we would think of as boy games. Why do we criticize girl games for teaching a girl to want to wear nice clothes and get married, but we don't often question what games like Zelda, Mario, and Final Fantasy are teaching children to be? It's obviously not the point of any of these games. Wanted to enlighten you, so maybe you could think again before being dismissive of girl games. They really need to be remembered just as fondly as any other games. Maybe you could talk about this on the podcast or do a write-up on it in the magazine.
Yeah, that's a very nice email.
Yeah, it's a very interesting perspective.
100%.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. Hello, Ben and whoever is there.
Jeez.
Ben Guthrie from Jacksonville, Florida. Every year a new Call of Duty releases, and every year I look for one mode that only showed up in one of them. Combat training. Black Ops 1 had a mode called combat training that was just like playing the normal multiplayer mode, but with bots. This meant I could have the experience of leveling up my character and unlocking new weapons without the worry of the game's community leaving. I love this mode, but Black Ops 1 is the only Call of Duty to have it. Black Ops 2 had something similar, not quite exact. My question is, what game series had something you love in one game that never showed up again? This is from Devin Gallagher from Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Gears Beast Mode, where you get to play as the big lumbering beasts.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I forgot
and little
that.
Scurrying ones. That was neat.
Yeah.
That was cool. I got to change my score in Gears 5 because it's not in there.
Does not have that?
Just knock it down 18 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rise of the Tomb Raider had this really interesting survival mode where you're worrying about weather and hunger and thirst and exploring this kind of procedurally generated world with random tombs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. You could play co-op and you could use cards you unlocked to like enemies have big heads or
it's,
you have flaming arrows.
No, it's Fallout 76.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what it's called now.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, you get cards and...
Well, never mind then.
You get thirsty.
Yeah, but I wanted that in Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
That sounds neat.
It was cool.
Yeah. Karibo Shoe.
Yeah.
That's what was only in Mario 3.
Karibo Shoe?
Yeah, that one like weird green boot.
Yeah, you jump in it and it's
it was great.
Do you ever find out what that thing was from?
I'm sure someone
did we ever find the other shoe?
That's a great question.
That is a sequel that needs to be made.
There you go.
Cork, slow down.
I'm just looking here. We don't have any kind of attribution.
Are you sure it's not on the previous page? The bottom of it?
Uh-oh. That last email was from Ben Guthrie from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
Good email.
I may have given him dual attribution. It was not a tag team effort. Devin Gallagher, cool your jets. This is yours. Jeez.
Jeez.
Pull yourself together, my friend. Hey, crew.
Mm. Hey, man. I like that.
I recently introduced my brother-in-law to The Last of Us. It's downright my favorite game to watch anybody play it for the first time. I love getting to see the reactions to certain events, how they start bonding with the characters, and even forming their own theories of what's going to happen throughout the rest of the game. I was gone for the Labor Day weekend and asked if he played any while I was away, and he said, nah, wanted to play it with you around. So what's that one game you love to introduce people to, and as they play it, watch to see their reactions? Maybe it's something funny you want them to experience, or sad, or, like The Last of Us, something that'll make your jaw drop in certain moments. I have video footage of him doing that. LOL. Thanks, guys.
LOL. Yeah, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is when I first got VR a few years ago.
I mean,
and just sitting people down to do the roller coaster, they would all scream.
Everybody looks like an idiot in VR for the first time. It's great.
Yeah.
Good people watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a bunch.
Really?
Now, I'll go through them really quickly. Alien Isolation.
Mm-hmm.
That actually scares everybody that plays that. Mm-hmm. The intensity is so great. And one I just love to mess with people with is EDF.
Yep.
Any EDF game, I'll put them down. They'll see the first thing you see is the swarm of ants. They're like, this is the dumbest thing. Why am I playing this? Mm-hmm. But then like 10 minutes later, they can't stop playing.
Yeah, because it's actually
so your mood goes from like, you're tricking me into, I got to buy this myself.
Yeah.
It's so good. Absolutely. All those games.
Yeah, well, you said you had a bunch of them.
Well, VR as well, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's boring. VR.
I had more, but you just don't seem to be into it, so I'm just, we can go on.
Oh, no. I love EDF.
Yeah. EDF's good.
What a bummer. I am sorry. AGI crew, Colin from North Carolina. I was playing Control last night into early this morning, and I'm loving it so far. Throwing things at people with telekinesis is one of my favorite things in games, and Control makes it so satisfying.
It feels awesome. The sound effects are amazing.
Well, Leo, what I'm really here to talk about is the dialogue.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, nice try. Jessie often cuts to inner monologues, close up to her eyes, asking herself questions, and it almost feels like it was supposed to be leading to a dialogue choice they retroactively took out.
Hmm.
A little like Days Gone. Any input on this particular instance or any other instances where you in games where you think to yourself, wow, it feels like they removed something here. Love ya. Kiss, kiss, mwah.
Yeah, you always hear about, I guess you never hear about like what is actually cut, but you know there's a lot being axed.
Yeah.
Mid-development, like huge chunks of the games. I remember talking to Naughty Dog about how they flow seamlessly from moment to moment in the Uncharted games.
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean like everything that they worked on would have to be there because you can't just cut out a chunk because then it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
the whole
yeah.
experience doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So they are on a very like, they're walking on ice as they make these games. Like everything has to work.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times games will just cut levels or cut moments or gameplay features and you just never knew. And then you find out later, like in a sequel, like, oh, this is something we thought about with one. We just didn't have the time to do it right. We put it into God of War. There was that making of with Dave Jaffe where he showed the wings on Kratos.
Oh, yeah.
They put that in a later game.
Mm-hmm.
But that was originally planned for the first one. So stuff like that is always interesting. I don't know about Control. I would guess there was big cuts, and maybe that was one of them.
Yeah.
That seems like I've played a bunch of it. It seems like there was supposed to be stuff there.
It does feel like it, yeah.
I always noticed when I think it was Assassin's Creed Odyssey and maybe to a lesser degree Far Cry 5. When I am running around in an open world and I see plants that stick out in particular, but they're just sparsely distributed and enough to us where like, was there like a really, like a deeper crafting system here at one point where these were like berries that you could harvest? I always think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Assassin's Creed Odyssey for sure. It had a lot of plants like that.
Yeah. It's not like, if you play that one in particular, I think there's certain types of foliage. It really does jump out as like, must have been gameplay attached to this at some point.
Yeah.
Or I'm just crazy.
Those must be tough cuts.
Yeah.
The plants.
Yeah, there's certainly like a big herbivore guy in there. He's like, guys, we got to have these berries. You could put your arrows in it. And then it makes them.
Poison.
Poison. Yeah. Oh, we already poison have poison, tip. You dingus. It's in the skill tree.
No juice arrows. They're going to be just as good.
I got fatally quenched. Got another Control question.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan from Providence, Rhode Island writes, hey, Ben and friends. From the opening moments of Control, I was struck by how strongly it reminded me of the pen and paper RPG Unknown Armies. Fans of Control and tabletop RPGs owe it to themselves to check this game out. I wonder if Remedy are fans of UA. Do any of you play pen and paper RPGs? Is there a GI D&D group? Love y'all.
Yes, I play. Well, not like D&D. I play a lot of board games, but not, you know, not pen and paper. But we do have, Matt Miller is a huge dungeon master guy.
Jen from production.
He writes his own quest lines. He like made like a bound book for his group that plays.
Yeah. Do you think Joe he does Juba? A voice?
Oh, I bet. I bet he gets into character.
Yeah.
Because he can't just walk in wearing jeans and a shirt with a collar and button.
What do you
up.
Think? What do you think he wears then?
It's a robe with stars on it. Clearly, right?
And the hat.
A hat.
A quill.
I bet he has one of those like hats that at a graduation ceremony, like people have their master's degrees or their PhD. Like they've got the flat. I bet he's got one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always wanted to do a live replay or just live video of us playing D&D.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that'd be super fun.
That'd be fun. That kind of happened in Extra Life if you don't know what D&D is. You can imagine what we did was D&D.
Oh,
with
gosh.
Ben Reeves.
Right.
Yeah. If you think D&D lasts forever, it doesn't go anywhere.
That's actually what happens,
advertised,
right?
Yeah.
You die or it never ends.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. What is it? I'm looking here. Oh. Brendan from Melbourne, Australia writes, "Hello, Ben and the Game Informer crew. Sorry to hear about the staff layoffs over there. I love the show and have been a dedicated listener for the past 2 years. I'm sure you've noticed that game development times are getting longer and longer. Number of hours it takes to make a AAA title increases with each iteration of hardware. As a consequence, some game developers are teasing their games for longer and longer periods of time. Cyberpunk 2077 was teased way back in 2012. A kid could go there throughout their entire high school education, 6 years in Australia, what? And start university knowing this game was coming. That just seems bonkers. Alternatively, Fallout 4 was announced and released in a relatively short period of time. So my questions are, rapid fire, guys. Can you, as a consumer, be teased for too long?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you prefer a long tease or a quick tease?
Quick.
Pretty quick, yeah. Like, Watch Dogs Legion is the one I'm most hyped for, and that is 9 months from when they announced it, pretty much. Like, E3 to March. And I think that's a pretty good length. Like, if it was longer than that, I'd be a little frustrated.
Apex Legends, right? Just out of nowhere.
Exactly. How long before release should a developer tease their games for?
No more than 1 year.
Yeah, that's a good rule, I think.
Okay, so Bethesda's blown it.
Big time.
Big time.
Starlink's coming out any day now. It's going to drop like Apex.
Do you think, as the console generations progress, we will see developers tease their games for longer and longer times? 10, 15, or 20-year teases? 20-year tease? Can you imagine?
Well, that's good job security, right?
That's true. Like the MCU Phase 2.
Microsoft, Gear 6, we need another 15 years.
Yes.
Don't worry, we're bringing back beast mode. It's going to take a long time.
The culture won't change in that period of time, so it's going to be fine. P.S. Hope this makes the show better.
It did. That was a good question.
Brendan,
well, questions.
Series of questions.
That's such a scary idea. 10 minutes of lead time to a game.
Yeah. Luke from Atlanta, Georgia writes, Ben and company. After hearing the podcast segment with the interns on last week's episode, I had to write in and let Ben know that his off the top of his head defense of having a sword to slice and dice is actually true in my case. As a high schooler, I bought swords, and now in my 30s, I just hadn't thrown them away. A month ago, I needed to cut rock wool insulation bats, that's what it says, and did not have the correct insulation knife, so the sword got pulled out of the shed and used to cut insulation. It worked like a dream and gave me a perfect cut. With that introduction, what is the most improvised tool that you and the panel have used when the correct tool was either missing or just too far away?
Hold on. Most people that get swords, like Clouds from Final Fantasy VII, they're not sharp. They're just like play toys. I mean, they're heavy and stuff, but like they're not meant to cut.
Yeah, Luke from Atlanta is the real deal.
If you go to like a Ren fair, they're not going to give you a sharp sword.
He keeps them in a dedicated sword shed.
You think the lawnmower's in there too, or is that a different
a lawnmower
kind of blade?
If you think about it, really is just several swords.
Yeah, I bet he uses the sword to trim his lawn. Yeah, slices along the ground.
The worst scythe.
So what's the question?
The question is, what have you used as a tool to improvise
for a task.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're tag teaming it. You're my tool.
There was a Mega 64, one of their personal videos, where the Garrett used AirPods, an AirPod case, mm-hmm. to tweeze hair on his face because the clearance when you close it is so small. You use it as tweezers to pull hairs out of his face. So I thought that was pretty clever.
That's disgusting.
It's practical.
Yeah, who brings tweezers on an airplane?
Can you?
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. This day and age.
I don't have an answer to that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm grossed out now.
Yeah.
Segment is ruined.
Yeah. Well, I like your answer.
Do you have one?
Leo.
You seem pretty crafty, like MacGyver-ish.
Yeah.
This is, okay, you might have to edit this out because I imagine, like, as I talk longer, diminishing returns on this anecdote, but I used to live in an apartment complex. It had balconies. My friend and I would get on our balcony. We were in our early 20s, mm-hmm. and we would throw model airplanes off them because you were up high, and it would be very fun to watch the airplanes go because they're, like, little airplanes. Mm-hmm. One of them went, and it did a perfect loop and then landed in the balcony below us. And we did not want to meet our neighbor by saying, hello, our toy airplane is on your balcony. So there were slats on the deck of the balcony.
Oh, no.
So I had a box knife.
Like,
not a like thick box knife, like a utility knife, but just right. like a box cutter. It's just uh-huh. like a very thin like metal sleeve with yep. a razor blade in it, right? Yep. So I took that and I tied a string to it. And then at the end of it, so it's basically a long metal rectangle, stuck two pins on there and taped that on there. Mm-hmm. And then slid it, dropped it down the slat between the deck, and then it slowly lowered it down and impaled the airplane and then pulled, right? But you think, well, the airplane's bigger than the slats, right? What are you going to do? So it's suspended there. And then we took another piece of string and tied a nut to it and then, like, lowered it down and then started spinning it faster and faster so that it was, like, going sideways. And then the nut, like, wound its way around that string, and then we pulled, and then the airplane, like, slowly got to where we could reach it, and then we untied all the strings, and then we got our airplane back.
And the neighbors never knew.
They never knew.
That's ingenious. Yeah, I love that.
That was the last smart thing that I've ever done in my entire life, and then we got
our
airplane back.
That's the only story you have for your kids? Like, listen up what your daddy did.
Listen, we could have just bought another airplane, but we didn't.
Yeah, before we had Amazon Prime Now to get a new one.
Exactly. Just my one-click purchase. Last email.
Last one, all right.
Last one. Brandon Anderson writes, greetings, Jeff, he met. I said, once again, it was great to meet you, Andy Mack, and Ben Reeves in Nashville the other night.
How was Nashville?
I didn't go. Oh, wait, I did go. It was great. I was met. Along with Andy Mack and Ben Reeves. This guy owns a bar. And
oh, really?
Reached out to Ben Hansen and Andy Mack and Ben Reeves, and they went to his bar and had a great time with him.
Ben Hansen told me he said it was like the best possible night he could have had out there. He was so, it meant so much to him. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. He said the guy was like super funny and super outgoing. It was just the best night. So anyway, he said, glad you could make it out to my bar. You guys made my day. So it seems like everyone loves each other very much, which is great. Anyway, I thought I'd send in a couple emails to the podcast and see if they make it on the show. So here goes a little video game trivia. Did you know, the way these are structured, I guess you're just going to have to say yes or no. This is the honor
that's
system.
It? Okay.
And whoever knew the most wins.
Yes. Mortal Kombat was developed in 10 months by a team of 4 people.
Huh.
Knew that.
No.
Researchers are using the original World of Warcraft to evaluate how people would react to a virus outbreak in real life because of the way players reacted to a simulated disease in the game.
No.
Yep, knew it.
Tom Hanks campaigned to play the role of Mario in the Mario Brothers feature film, but Nintendo didn't think he was a big enough star to carry the movie.
Wow, no, I didn't know that.
So they went with no star?
Yeah, exactly. There are only... John Leguizamo's a big deal. There are only 10 copies of the Sega version of Tetris in existence.
Yes.
Well, with the Genesis Mini, though. Look out.
Here it comes.
GoldenEye 64's multiplayer mode was added to the game in the last 6 months of development without developer Rare's approval.
Yes.
Some levels don't support... Hold your jets there.
Yep.
Some levels don't support 4 players because the game was mostly designed for single-player combat.
Yep.
Yeah, you knew all of that.
I talked to David Doak.
Surgeons who play video games make 37% fewer mistakes and perform their tasks 27% faster than their peers.
Across all games.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Good for them. The Sega Saturn shipped with internal memory of 32 kilobytes.
Mm-hmm.
Diablo is the longest supported online game at over 21 years.
Oh, didn't know that. Oh. We were wondering about that, like what the longest one is.
Yeah.
It's this.
Huh. The Madden series has appeared on 33 different video game platforms.
Isn't that crazy?
You knew,
which
you knew it was 33?
I didn't know it was 33. I knew it was like one of the highest, like yeah. Mega Man and that or whatever.
Yeah. Mario was designed with a mustache so players could see his nose.
Yes.
You think the nose would take care of that, but he had overall so players could see his arms move. He wore a hat, shut up, because it was too hard to draw and animate his hair in the game. Yes, Leo.
I would have given him a big green booger.
That's true. The nose. Exactly. And a bonus one, Street Fighter II was one of the first video games to have a playable human female character. Wow. Arcade game, Typhoon Galley being the first in 1985. Let's hear it for human females.
Yeah.
Right? And there you go.
That's it.
I knew all of them, so I think I won that one.
Yeah. You're a genius. Very nice. What do you think was the best email? Mm. Think back. There's a lot of good ones.
Mm. I like the one about teasing games.
Teasing games?
For how long that should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about teasing games for girls?
Yeah, that one was good, too.
That was good. And, I mean, he just made a statement, and that was it. Mm-hmm. That was good.
He or she. Pat, you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know. Yeah. The Barbie game was good, too, though.
Yeah, the Barbie game.
We kind of blew that and took it way too long, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you think, Cork? You make the final
call. What do I think?
Yep.
Oh, no. I like the thought put into the Making Fun of Girl games.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Wait, is that the person where we don't know if it's from Louisiana or Los Angeles?
Well, if I look at it.
I'd just put it in the middle of the map then.
Yeah.
It's Pat from LA. Yeah, you're right. Louisiana or Los Angeles.
Okay, anybody got a coin to flip?
Pat, you got to help us out here.
I'm going to assume Louisiana.
Yeah, me too.
Write in it. Though. Let us know.
Yeah, perfect. Well, there you go. That's it for emails.
And the show, right? Or do you got something else?
Oh, we got something planned for the back half. We're going to play a little game that. Bringing Joe Juba back, but for now, we're going to have to say goodbye, Reiner. It was a pleasure, as always.
That was fun.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, welcome back. Wasn't that the best show that we've ever had? It then should go away forever.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
But it's not over yet.
Let's make this completely unbearable. We're going to do a fun game. We're doing back of the disc trivia. And Joe Juba is playing.
Yeah.
And Leo Vader, you are also playing.
Yeah.
Okay. The rules of this is simple. I'm going to describe back of a disc of a game. And you have to guess what it is. I will give more explicit descriptions as time passes. But
if we don't get it.
And you have to buzz in by saying your full name.
Viewers and listeners may think that they are familiar with this game. Have we played this game on the podcast before?
We have not, actually.
This is a brand new.
This is a brand new game. And if one person buzzes in incorrectly by saying their full name,
mm-hmm.
the other person can lean back, put their hands behind their heads, and say, I could get used to this, and then I will continue to describe the disc in its entirety.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let me get the first one. You guys, to be clear, have not been briefed on any of these games, correct?
No.
No.
Okay.
And we've never met. Jeff's taking out the first disc now. He's being careful to preserve its integrity.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, this first disc is circular.
Wait, can we see it?
No, you cannot look at it.
We can't even look at the side of the disc.
You want to look at the front of the disc?
Yeah, I mean, no spoilers, of course.
Okay, just a quick peek. All right, you can see there are some light scratches on it.
Okay.
But they're fairly superficial. I think that you would have no problem getting this game to function if you were to put it in its appropriate device.
Okay, so to be clear for audio listeners, Jeff Cork is not reading the back.
He's not reading the front.
Of a CD. Or he's not reading the back of a box. He is just looking at a disc.
Yep.
A game disc and describing the back of it.
This one, okay, the second clue, it says Xbox 360.
Joe Juba.
And a hologram. Yes, Joe.
Blue Dragon.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Leo?
I could get used to this.
All right. Again, did I say superficial scratching? I may have said, it does have a number that is very difficult to read.
Okay.
It's small, but I will do my best because that's all I could do.
I'm really, you're really holding it up to the camera and I'm trying to see what it is.
I really hope you don't because it's like cheating.
I can't make it out. It doesn't help.
Okay, good. Boy, it is impossible to read. Okay, here we go. 587 F2B 4L1.
Can you,
is the number.
Can you slow down and do that one more time?
Oh, shoot. Another clue. Looks like at one point the disc fell out of the console.
Hmm.
And the little rotor was still spinning and has etched a little circle on the near the inside hole.
Interesting. So someone was careless with this game as they were.
Very astute.
Okay.
So Leo Vader.
Yeah?
A Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
I'm afraid not. The correct answer was Connectimals. The answer is Connectimals.
I can see why someone would be careless with that while ejecting it.
They're probably having such a great time and accidentally kick the console because their body is the controller.
True.
How many times have you accidentally kicked a console?
4.
The running total.
Once per generation.
Yeah.
All right. Next disc.
Okay.
This disc is significantly smaller.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You'll notice.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
maybe it's a smaller game, an indie title.
I'm not going to play that hand. So, again, this one is like if you were to take a sphere and flatten it, is the general shape.
But there is a hole in the middle.
Yep, quite a hole.
How donut-like is it?
It would be a very disappointing donut if someone were to offer you this donut. It would be more like a cracker.
Yeah, what does it taste like? Can you tell us that? Just give it a quick lick.
A quick lick?
A quick lick?
Yeah, describe the flavor to us.
A Top Giant Bomb style quick lick.
Like nothing.
Hmm.
Like nothing.
A clue.
This one is not scratched. Looks like it has been... Well, so aside from some asshole licked it, it seems like it's in pretty good shape.
So it's either been meticulously maintained or never played.
Again, you guys are asking all the right questions. This one, if you rotate it just right, you can hurt your eyes.
Leo Vader?
Yes.
Ghost? Is that a game?
No. This is not Ghost question mark. I'm assuming.
Oh, I know. Well, I could get used to this.
All right, Joe Juba?
I didn't say it. I could get used to this. You have to finish now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not done.
No, clearly not. I have much more to say. It's smaller than a normal CD.
Joe Juba.
Yes.
Is it Geist?
Oh, very close. I see where you're going with that. No, I'm afraid it's Metroid Prime.
Oh!
For the Nintendo GameCube.
That is the one I meant, for sure.
See, Leo, I capitalized on your mistake.
I appreciate that.
But I still lost.
We've got more. I have a stack that goes up to my shin. So it's not that tall, really. But
no, it's not that big. I got shin stacks all over the place. That sounds like some sort of disorder. I got shin stacks.
Shin stacks. All right. So this.
Oh.
Yes.
Can you describe what you're seeing, or is that part of what I should be saying?
No, we can describe it.
Okay.
It's a UMD, it looks like, to me.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. So
to you and me.
And it's got another small disc, smaller even than the last disc, encased in a...
Some kind of caddy?
Outer sort of exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say one clue.
Yes?
On the back of it, well, I guess it would be the front of it, what I'm calling the front for the purposes of this contest. It says UMD, Universal Media Disc.
Mm. Leo Vader?
Yes.
Pursuit Force.
Wow. bold, but unfortunately wrong.
Dang. So now I feel like, Jeff, you could be, wait, hold on. I could get used to this.
There you go.
I feel like you could easily be faking us out here because it's a universal media disc. It's not only a game. We all know that the PSP was an all-in-one entertainment device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Universal media disc, meaning you could use that in anything.
Yes.
You use that for all your stuff.
I'm going to say, I'm going to buzz in, Jojuba.
Yes.
And say that that is the Ghost in the Shell anime movie.
Oh, UND. That's a really good guess. Unfortunately, this is the game NBA. That's what it's called.
It's just NBA?
NBA.
No year or anything?
Nope. They did not. They did not have high hopes for this franchise.
Who
or...
published that?
That's a living game.
Show the people.
Hold it up for the camera.
Okay,
John.
Yeah, there we go. It's NBA.
All your listeners, it does just say NBA on it.
And on the back, it says, your ball. Bring it out.
All right. So,
we're maybe not going to do that on this episode of the Game Informer show.
But your ball.
Your bring ball. It bring out. It out. NBA, published by 989 Sports.
Yeah. And it has a helpful URL, NBA.com. Maybe that's the full title.
Bring it out.
Bring it out.
All right.
All right. That we got more.
One. And we're really going to do them all? Question mark?
Yes.
All right.
Here's the deal. People can hit stop at any time, right?
Yeah.
This doesn't
the
cost us
anything.
The power's
in your hands. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No.
Hansen made us make this one bad so you appreciated him more.
Absolutely. I'm doing my best.
I had a lot of really good, insightful, funny things to say, but I've been holding back for Hansen's benefit.
Now, look at this. Joe Chuba, fellow old guy, recognizes this.
That is definitely a PlayStation 1 disc.
Leo, this is definitely a PlayStation 1 disc. This one has fingerprints and...
Whose fingerprints?
Oh, that's a very smart question. Justin Leeper. Oh, and it looks like a really gnarly scratch, but I just ran my fingernail over... I think this game would still play.
Yeah?
Yep, I think so.
What does this particular disc smell like?
What does it smell like?
Yeah.
Again, Justin Leeper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what game is it?
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what. I never worked with Justin.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I took the chair that he vacated when he left. But... I'm going to buzz in and say the most Justin Leeper game that could possibly be is Simpsons Wrestling.
No, I'm afraid that's not correct.
Oh, dang it.
See, I didn't work with him either, but I did see his fingerprints a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And smelt your chair more than I probably should have.
That lingering aroma.
Leo?
I could get used to this.
Uh-huh.
So what else?
And it's Leo Vader's Metal Gear Solid.
Wow, you're not even making me do more trivia.
We got a lot to get through here.
It's Tekken. The answer is Tekken.
That was my second guess.
So
myself.
Close. We're getting so close on some of these, but
so close.
You know, I feel like we're just getting. It's the details that are throwing us off here. You got to get the details right.
Mm-hmm. Jeff's taking out the next disc.
Actually, I was putting away. That disc. Oh, it's in one of these weird cases. It's so big.
Oh, yeah. One of those like early run PlayStation games that get not even like normal CD cases. It's just the more like bookshelf sized. Well, no. Like they're for a book to put on a bookshelf, not the size of a bookshelf. That would be too much.
Thank you for your contribution. Yes. For making this the worst segment. Yeah.
We all got to do our part.
So this disc... Shimmery and iridescent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
When,
how does it compare to previous discs we've seen that are kind of like this?
It's remarkably similar. I think some would say disappointingly so. Perhaps review scores reflected upon that as well. We've got the Xbox 360 hologram in the center.
Mm. Oh, that's a dead giveaway.
Thwarting piracy. It's doing its part. This one, aside from the fact that Joe Juba, how dare you?
I tried.
Creepy
I
peeper.
Tried.
The shrink wrap was off, but it did not look like it. That it there's not a thick layer of dust. This could have been played a lot.
Okay.
Leo Vader?
Yes.
Connect Adventure.
Ah, no.
Okay, but we're sure it's
really off the mark.
You're sure it's okay. Xbox 360.
I don't see why you have to say that.
I'm 100% sure.
Is this one disc in several discs? Is it a multi-disc game?
No. No, that would be a dirty trick.
Yeah. Boy, there's just so many options. Well, let's see. Describe its weight.
Its weight? To me. Okay. It does not have, like, the... One of the things that's interesting about these kinds of discs is, unlike the Wii U, you know how those had nice rounded edges?
Mm-hmm.
This, you couldn't shave with it, but it isn't not sharp, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, perfect sense, yes.
That's not a clue, by the way.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm picking it up because I know now. Wait, Leo already guessed, right?
Yeah, big time.
I can get used to this.
Okay,
nice. Very good. Let's say that's Osra's Wrath.
No, it's actually Connectimals Now with Bears.
Oh, my God. I was really thinking of being another connector. I didn't think there was another connectable.
And you said he was so far off. He was barely far off. It was still Joe. Connect.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh.
It's a Connect launch title. I could not have been closer.
This is a very good concept for a game, I'd like to say.
Yeah, smart guy must have thought about it all to himself.
We should do this like a similar segment on Extra Life this year.
Now, here's something interesting. Mm-hmm. You don't see this every day when you're looking at back of discs. PlayStation logo. Representative several times. Not just the hologram to thwart piracy, as we talked about before. You can see it faintly on the surface of the disc.
I don't believe you.
Here. See it?
It's true.
It's true. Why would I lie about that?
It's the old
weird detail lie about
the old school PlayStation logo.
Ah,
old school, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like PS2 or PS3. It's just that weird P with like the S that fell down behind it.
Yeah, I don't want to give you two Pinocchios, but this does say PlayStation 2 on it.
Oh,
it is the PlayStation logo though. I can, in the serial number on it, it says PDSS-013215A.
Oh, Joe Juba.
Yes.
That's Final Fantasy X.
Oh. Can you be more specific?
Final Fantasy X-2.
Nope.
No.
Incorrect.
No. Oh, okay.
I could get used to this.
Okay.
Please continue.
Oh, please continue. This one, I don't know if I've really emphasized this enough when we were talking about the other ones. It's very thin. Very thin.
That does look quite thin from here.
Yeah. I'll hold it up to the camera. You can see it's quite thin.
Mm-hmm. Leo Vader?
Yes.
Final Fantasy X?
No. I'm afraid it's a Catwoman. Catwoman is the answer for that one.
There are just so many ways this goes right for us. It's very easy to guess games.
Every element just works.
I'm thinking this is just a great way to get some words in our SEO. Connectimals and Catwoman. Hey, we're not lying. NBA.
All those Catwoman searches these days.
Look no further.
Yeah, look no further. Hey, continuing a theme. This has also got the PlayStation hologram, but we're jumping
Leo
up
Vader.
A couple generations. It's PlayStation 4, yes.
Leo Vader, Injustice?
What? Can you be more specific?
Injustice 2?
How did you guess that?
I saw it when you pulled it out.
Judges? Yeah, I'll allow it.
Oh, I got wait, five. So the score is 1? Does I give 0 points?
Well, we're
still
playing to 5.
No. Okay.
I'm really good at this.
I'm going to be very careful here.
All I saw was Injustice. You know, I could have said Injustice 1, although I don't think that came out on PS4.
Could have said, what, Injustice, Gods Among Gods? Isn't that what it was?
Gods Among Us?
Something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
So It's circular in shape. It has a mouth, but cannot speak. No, wait. It's actually something else. This just has a hole.
Okay. So is this one like a donut?
This one's more like a bagel in that it... I think it was more on the savory side of the spectrum.
Would you eat it if it were in a sandwich?
If it were in a sandwich.
This disc.
I need to know more about this scenario. Am I being paid specifically to eat this?
No, this is like lunch.
This is lunch.
You ordered it.
I ordered it. And it's what I wanted to eat?
Yeah.
Yeah. You came to a place just for that.
Am I the character Jaws from James Bond franchise?
That's obviously implied.
And then do I eat the plate as a snack afterward? Because I like this scenario quite a lot.
Yeah.
Me, speaking just as myself, this is not a meal. Although you could serve some hors d'oeuvres on it, walking around a fancy party. Like if you were in space, maybe even. It's very reflective.
Ooh. How many, could you fit multiple ones of those? Like one on your pinky, one on your pointer finger.
Mm-hmm.
So you could kind of have two hors d'oeuvre trays per
hand. Objection,
hand.
I think that gives too much away.
Yeah, we need to move away from these hypotheticals.
And just get to talking about the disc.
Yes.
Is it the 360 thing?
Yes. It says Xbox 360 on it.
Okay.
Jojuba.
Yes.
Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark. No.
I can get used to this.
Yes.
Leo Vader.
Yes.
Connect Sports. No, Connect Fitness. That one. Is that close enough?
I think
to a game.
When you say the name, is it like letting go of a piece in chess? When you.
Yeah, I think it's.
Oh,
first
sure.
One.
So I said Connect Sports then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually Crysis 2 Limited Edition. I would have accepted Crysis 2 as well.
Can you hold it up just so we believe you?
Yeah, there's a real crisis going on here. I've got the cry engine going on in my face right now.
Working at max capacity.
Are we done with this yet?
No. I got two more.
Okay.
All right. So this disc has been touched on the surface. As evidenced by one prominent, appears to be a thumbprint.
How big? How big are we talking?
Thumb-sized. The fleshy pad part of the thumb.
Bigger than yours? Was it you when you picked it out?
No, I was very careful. Because this is valuable.
Serious business.
This is serious business. It does not have a hologram in the center.
No identifying features.
No identifying features of any sort. You can actually, I'll hold it up so you can get a better look at it. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to help.
And what system?
I'm not going to tell you what system's on. I will say, if you look at it, it's got more of a bluish hue.
It seems like there's a like a more defined spot on the disc where like data has been put on it.
You're not wrong, Jojuba. It isn't a traditional disc. We'll just leave it at that until you answer.
Jojuba.
Yes.
Is it just like a CD that you would burn something onto?
You need to be more specific.
Like what is a CDR?
I need to know what is on the CDR. You can't just say, is it a CD? It's ridiculous.
I don't know.
Did you literally anything?
did you put your, I don't know, a real media version of a Lord of the Rings movie on that?
I did not burn this.
Okay.
So, no.
I could get used to this.
Yes.
CDR featuring... Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
That's right.
No, it says Modern Marvel's Video Bonus Behind the Fun.
Can you hold that up, please? Okay, handwritten on that CDR?
Technically handwritten. Very poor penmanship. And there is a larger, I should have said, but that's the other side. There's a a larger thumbprint on this side. This next one is the last one. So right now,
I feel like I should get half credit for that one.
Why?
You know what, Joe? You can get a half a point because I don't think you're going to pass me on this
okay,
one.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay, half. I just don't want to. I don't want to zero out, right? I don't want to give Leo the perfect.
That
victory.
Would be humiliating.
Yeah.
All right. This one, hologram in the middle, is the Xbox logo. Okay.
The original Xbox logo?
The original Xbox. They didn't even know that there would be a subsequent one, so it's just called Xbox.
Yeah.
This one might be the shiniest and most iridescent one that we've seen thus far.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very nice, is what I'm trying to say.
That's cool.
In so many words.
Would you bring this one home as like an anniversary gift to your wife?
What anniversary?
20th?
20th.
I think the wood anniversary.
My wife deserves no less.
Okay. Jojuba.
Yes.
Is it James Bond, Everything or Nothing?
I'm afraid not.
That may be... I don't even know if that was Xbox. Maybe that was only PS2.
Oh, no. You're second-guessing yourself. Don't do that, Joe.
I could get used to this.
Yes?
James Bond, Nothing or Everything.
You guys are so incredibly wrong, both of you. It's Fantastic Four.
Oh!
Based on the Jessica Alba vehicle.
So what's the final score?
It's 1-0.5. Leo, I think that you've got this one.
Does this count as winning back of the box trivia for my resume?
No, this is clearly a very different thing. This is back of the disc trivia.
Okay, completely legally distinct.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Thanks, man.
But you can put winning back of the disc trivia on your resume, Leo.
Yeah, nobody knows what that is.
You can put whatever you want on a resume. Nobody reads that crap. High school. Give me a break. Well, that was an episode of the Game Informer Show. Right?
Yeah, it's in the feed and everything.
It qualifies. Yeah.
I wonder if Hansen is listening to this right now, completely mortified.
Head in his hands.
Yeah. His
I hope so.
His baby's gave itself a real bad haircut and drawn all over itself with marker.
Hopefully he learned a valuable lesson about just saying, oh, they'll take care of it.
We did. We took care of it. All the way to
like
the gutter.
Like an assassin takes care of someone.
Or like when you have to do a chore and you just do it so poorly that you're never asked to do it again.
Right.
That was, now that I think about it, what I was going for all along. Excellent. Well, thank you, Joe, for participating in Back of the Disc Trivia.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for winning, Leo.
You're welcome.
Hey, why don't you talk us out?
Okay. First, thank you for hosting, Jeff Cork.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching or listening to this episode of the Game Informer Show. Come back Thursday. We'll have a new episode waiting for you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.